accepted me. Everybody rejected me. But you accepted me. Everybody pushes me away. But you are embracing me. Everybody pushes me away. But you are embracing me.
This is Realm of the Historics, and we are in, you know, almost the midst of the month of February, because the month of February is very short. And month of February, being short, it has become one of the most important months in the calendar. Of Namibia, for the first time in 34 years, we have the passing of the sitting president. It was February the 4th, 2024, when we woke up to the news of, you know, the death or the departure of the sitting president. It was the first time in our Namibian history to have that. In fact, we had to have countries come and help us with the processions, the burial processions of the president. You know, countries like Zambia that were experienced in that area. You know, countries like South Africa, Zambia, Angola, and of course Tanzania. They really came to, you know, help us with the processions because it was our first time. That was 2024. And then in 2025, we also woke up to the news again of the passing of the founding father. That 2024, it was February 4th. In 2025, it was February 7th. So February 7th, today, of course, marks the year after the passing of our founding father. Now, we have two former presidents. One is Uncle Pohamba. He's still with us, and of course, the former president, Angolo Mbumba, is also still with us, and of course, we have the sitting president. Those are five presidents in total. So we have the fifth president right now. So that is, of course, I think the procession is now about to come to the end, the commemoration of the anniversaries of the two presidents that departed in 2024 and 2025. Sitting president by then, and then the founding president or founding father, respectively. So February becomes a very important, month in the Namibian calendar. Now, historically also, the month of February was on the 6th of February, 1917, there's 109 years ago, that was when the Ukwanyama king Mandume Ndemfayo was killed. It was in a fight, fighting against the Portuguese and of course the English and the Boers. So the Portuguese, the English, and of course the Boers. So he was killed on the 6th of February, 1909. And there is also a commemoration today by the Ukwanyama Tradition Authority, where they are also visiting other kings, the graves, the resting places of other Ukwanyama king, or of other Ukwanyama kings. And of course, after the passing of the Ukwanyama king, Mandume Ndemfayo, there was no king. There has not been a king. Like when we are talking about king, we are talking about king, who was ruling the whole tribe of the Ukwanyama before the partitions of, you know, before the borders were partitioned. We are just talking about, because Mandume was not just a king of the Angolan, you know, side of Ukwanyama, but he was a king of all Ukwanyama, whether they were in Angola or they were here. So by then, Angola or Namibia did not really exist in the minds of many black people. The tribes were one. Angola or Namibia existed, or Angola or Southwest Africa existed in the minds of the Portuguese and other white settlers, but not, you know, not the Namibian, you know, not the Namibian, or, I mean, not the black people. Let me say that. So, it's history. And by that time, I think we could have been 15 million by this time, or 10 million, if the Germans would not have committed, you know, the atrocity that they did. The Germans, if they would not have committed what that terrible atrocity that they have, you know, committed. So, we would have been some millions at least. So, but that's the month of February. I think there are other historical events that might have taken place, but these are the major events as far as Namibian history is concerned. And as far as Namibian history is concerned, so we are talking about the 4th, the 5th, I mean the 4th, the 6th, and the 7th of February. But that's not what we'll be talking about today. I just wanted to, you know, to just get into some of the historical events, just to remind ourselves. And today we are just going to do some analysis of what, you know, happened during the week, and to try to make sense of what happened during the week in our Namibian, in our own Namibian politics, and of course our, and also some, you know, some international politics, then we see where we end. We just want to understand what is the meaning of what happened, during the week. We are also going to look at Parliament, how they could only pass two bills, and the president is talking about, you know, bills to be passed. And we are going to look at the potential, you know, we are going to see what America's interest in Namibian, you know, uranium and oil and all that, you know, we are going to talk about that. So today we have a huge, huge, huge buffet.
Dr. Anna. Chicken song, no, chicken song. gonna love. Yon chigan, who wants to do that be? Yon de jirimin yak and day yak a bay. Yami yam yer madat it a bay. Yon ya zanguna ife. Yon ya in bugul di yer madat. Yon ya yaka di video. Mama sa, Mama sa, go, Mama sa, chicken, cuckoo, la la, macabre.
It's too late. You say you want me, and it's too late. Once my love for you was so great, but it's too late to love me now. It's too late.
All right, so We start with the opening of the third session of the 8th Parliament. That took place on, of course, Tuesday, where the president, you know, spoke out. And I just want to analyze two statements from the president. When the president said that Parliament must stop, I'm just paraphrasing. They must stop this party politics and focus on delivery. They must discuss bills that are, they must pass bills so that, you know, the masses or service delivery can be, you know, close to the people. People can have services delivered to them through the bills and policies that are passed by Parliament. So, and over the whole year, Parliament has not been, they were only able to pass two bills. So the whole year, since February last year, up to December when they closed for, you know, holiday, they were only able to pass two bills. So the entire time they spent the entire time into bickering, you know, political bickering. So, and when we look at the comment sections, when they look at the comment sections on every media house and news page, including our own, people's concerns are that some people even in Parliament just go there and they even start sleeping because it seems that they become bored. You know, they are not proactive. They start to sleep. And the masses are waiting for the promises that you politicians made. You promised that you are going to change some laws that you think are against the masses or that are disadvantaging the masses. But when you go to Parliament, it's just fights, just debates. And those debates lead to nowhere. So no one wins, no one loses. It's just English. You know, it's just English on top of the other English. Everybody's Englishing. But no results. People are on point of order, point of correction, point of what, and no results. Therefore, the president is also waiting for the bills to be passed. And one of the bills that are of interest, as far as the president is concerned, is the bills that are talking about national resources, the state resources. That is a bill which it seems that the president is very much interested in. Now, are we not going to see the same? Now, there are concerns that, especially from the IPC, which says that, okay, it supports the passing of the bills, but at the same time, it cautions that there should be thorough, you know, thorough you know, investigations on the side of, thorough carefulness on the sides of parliamentarians so that they are not passing bills which will not at the end of the day be of beneficiation to the Namibian nations, which is just going to power to give the individuals more power. And this refers to the Fisherot case, where two ministers got away, you know, got their way, they found their way around a certain act and those acts were passed by Parliament that gave the minister officially more power to be able to execute, you know, to have more sweeping power, which led to him being, you know, involved corruptly in the fishing sector that landed the former minister officially, you know, behind bars today. So, those are concerns from among, you know, political formations, political parties, that should not repeat itself. And there are concerns that history is about to repeat itself when one person is given more power, too much power, over very sensitive resources. And of course, we know that there are concerns where the president, when the president put oil and or the mining sector or energy and mining sector, mining ministry, under her direct, you know, her direct watch, this has raised some concerns and speculations that, you know, this is too much power that the president is exercising. The president must appoint a minister. And of course, a minister was appointed. That is, the Honorable Modestus Hamtse was, he was appointed to oversee the mining, the ministries of mining and energy. So, but still, the mining and energy is still under the office of the president, directly overseen by the president. Now, some people are saying, fine, as long as that serves to the benefit of the nation, it doesn't matter. But some are arguing to say that could be too much, you know, power. That could be too much power. And while we are there, Job Mpanda says he comes out and compliments and commends the president's speech. At the president's speech on Tuesday, that she brushed everyone with the same brush. That was something from the AR perspective and Job Mpanda's perspective that was at least fair and commendable for the president's speech, that she brushed everyone with the same brush. And I like one statement that the president made, that when it comes to corruption, when people are investigated, it is not a witch hunt. It is corruption that is being fought. And if evidence are there, whoever is implicated must answer. It's not a witch hunt. So, well, only two bills were passed last year. That is, of course, according to the president, that is very, very sad. That's very, very bad. That's unacceptable for Parliament to only have passed two bills in a year. And now, most of you that have elected you have your party that is representing you at Parliament or in Parliament. Most of us, when we vote, we just vote and and it ends there. We just go and vote and it ends there. We don't follow up to say, okay, now we have voted you into power. Let's listen to Parliament and hear what is our party representative saying? What is our representation? What is he saying? We don't listen to Parliament. Most of us don't follow. We only listen to rumors. We only hear certain clips that are cut from the whole speech. where you don't know where the person talking is coming from, you don't know where the person talking, you don't know where they are going, you just got a clip, and then that's where you build the conversation. Where you find people in the comment section very angry, but very uninformed. They are angry, but they are not informed with what happened. So they are very angry and very uninformed. So 2 nuclear bombs exploded in Namibia. And we are going to talk about those 2 nuclear bombs that exploded. And you know what? When I did my analysis on my page about what happened on Monday, I thought I knew what happened. And in fact, I found out when I went to dig more deeper, I found out that I was completely wrong. And I'm going to tell you how wrong I was. And in fact, what is the meaning of what happened? But before we get there, let's finish this point. Because most of us as citizens are very much angry, but very uninformed. Okay? We are very angry. We hear about something, and we become very angry. But then we don't know where the person who is speaking, where they are coming from. We don't know where they are going, because we, most of us, 90% of Namibians don't read. They depend on hearsay. Once they hear somebody talking, because you have heard it from whoever, you start to be angry. And you go on the comment section with insults. But you are insulting deep down, knowing that you don't know why you are insulting. Because you don't know what you're talking about. And because you didn't have time to read and understand. Most of us read, but not, we don't read with a purpose to understand. We read because we want to have a say. But then having a say from a lack of knowledge, you just start to feel conflict. You just start to feel anger and sensationalize yourself. Most of us are zealous and very radical, but not according to knowledge, because we don't spend enough time reading. And the fact that we don't spend time reading, it becomes problematic, because by the time you hear the true side of the story, you have already caused damage. You know, you have already insulted people. You have already said a lot of nasty stuff that you were not supposed to say. So most of us don't read. And the fact that we don't read, we also don't listen. And we don't follow. We just stumble on stories on social media, and then immediately we make comments. We don't go and dig deeper. So I saw people on social media when it was reported that Bernardo Swartboy received a response from the letter that he wrote to Donald Trump. So people don't know the content of the letter. They don't know the answer. They are already commenting. Some are already angry. You know, already insulting. But you don't know the content of the letter. It was just said the Bernardo Swartboy got a response. So where is the response? It was not yet disclosed. No one knows yet what the response is. They are just saying it looks promising. It looks good according to what they have written to Trump. So, and most of you don't even know what Swart Boy has said to Trump. You just heard one or two sentences, maybe, but you did not even go and read what Swart Boy wrote to Trump for you to have a contextual, you know, picture and understanding of, and then you can maybe predict as to what the response could be. So, but we are already, you know, you are already angry. So one day I was in a taxi and we were listening to the president's speech, and the president was being asked questions and he was about to answer questions. Now, the people in the taxi are already talking. Let him answer. I must answer questions. Then I said to them, guys, listen. We want to listen. It's not about your political party. It's about, we want the content and the context. That's what we want. We don't care about who is asking a question. We want both the question and the answer. So please learn to listen. So, but you could already hear tensions. And this is what prevents us from moving forward. Because, you know, most people that are angry about politics are poor people. Where you are angry, but then your anger does not even, you know, it doesn't bring bread on your table. It does not pay your bills. Your political anger does not buy electricity. And the taxi driver wanted to switch off the radio, apparently because the president is not answering questions. I say, how do you know? You say, how do you know that the president is not answering questions? So these are the things that you switch off. And tomorrow, by the time you are going to hear that the president said this and the people are acting according to what the president said, you did not hear anything. That's when you start to trouble yourself. Because most of us are, what comes first is a political anger. What comes to your mind is your political party. But the issue is, our politicians mature, and the day they start to understand that they were not there, they were not elected by their parties, but by the Namibian people, and the day they start to understand that they are not in parliament because of their parties, they are in parliament because of the people. In fact, because of the poor people, they will know, you know, how to set aside their political differences and focus on nation building. So our people are very pragmatic and they are very practical. I can say that our politicians are really trying. From the other side of the coin, we can say our politicians are trying, because at least they are fighting. You can see when you are listening to them talk, you know, when you listen to parliament, they are trying to talk about nation building, but there is only one thing that they are not mastering. They don't know when it is a political party and when it is a nation. They don't know how to draw a line between their political party and the nation. But the day that our politicians will wake up and the day they will start to draw a line between these two, I don't think there will be any country with a powerful parliament like ours. Because our parliament only lacks that. That is the only thing they lack. That's only one thing that they lack. They don't know how to draw a line between their party and, or let me say, between the interest of their party and the interest of the nation. They don't know how to draw a line between those two. Now, it doesn't matter whether it is SWAPO or any other political party. They don't know how to draw they don't know how to draw a distinction. But the day they will all rise and know how to draw the distinction. And they all know that this is for the nation. I'm telling you that Namibia will not going, is not going to be the same again. Before we go for a short musical break, we have a matured political, you know, a system in Namibia. You know, and in fact, we have the matured ruling party and matured opposition party. It doesn't matter, you know, how much bickering you see they do. But here's where our opposition and both ruling party, here is where they are really matured. And here is where, you know, every country should learn from this political maturity. You know, one thing that made me understand or that opened my eyes to the maturity of our politicians, it is during the passing of the sitting president. You know, when I heard that the president was gone, there was some chill on my spine that maybe Namibia will spiral out of chaos. Namibia will spiral out of control. I was afraid that Namibia might spiral into chaos. But you know what? Our politicians forgot, in fact, they forgot their parties. They forgot their political differences. And they forgot their political differences completely. And they understood that this is a national issue. You know, this is a national issue. It's not a political party. It's not a personal issue. It's national. And we laid the president to rest. And we continued. And now this is 2 years already. Without drama. Now, if that is not a good news to you, I don't know what a good news to you is. Because in other countries cannot afford to have a sitting president gone. Other countries cannot afford that. You see, Tanzania cannot afford that at this time. Uganda will not be able to afford that at this time. Cameroon cannot afford that at this time. Burkina Faso cannot afford it. Niger cannot afford that. Mali cannot afford. A lot of countries cannot afford to have a sitting president dead this time. A lot of countries will not afford that. Things will spiral out of control quickly because a lot of factions will, you know, a lot of factionalism will start to show up, and order will crumble immediately. But not in Namibia. Namibia has shown the world that it has opposition parties that are very matured. And in fact, you also had, you know, certain disagreements in the ruling parties as far as who is the vice president, who is the president of SWAPO and all that as far as their Congress is concerned. But it is all gone now. You know, it's all gone and forgotten. That is to show you that our politicians, despite, you know, their shortcomings here and there, I think we have a matured political system. Despite the shortcomings here and there, I think they are really trying their best. So I'm not being pro this or that. I'm just talking about everyone, especially the major parties. You know, PDM, LPM, and this time, AR, IPC, you know, SWAPO, those four major parties are at the forefront of what I'm talking about. They are showing the world that Namibia has a matured democracy and a matured political system. Because, you know, in 2024, we didn't hear any political party leader arrested. Or police show up and they create problems and they start to make a raid at his house, or, you know, internet shut down, you know, all those dramas that we hear from other countries. No, we have our own weakness, of course, with election irregularities. Those are internal problems, but they don't spiral out of control. In fact, one of the things that shown that indicated that IPC try to live by what they preach, it's when they got the ruling from the court. You know, what did they say? They say they go by what the court had said. And it ended there. So that is very, very, very rare in many countries. It is very rare. That is very scarce to have. For example, look, the formation like IPC, which is the second largest party in Namibia, has the capacity, you know, has the capacity to cause a political karatagoma. You see, but they stay down. And in fact, came out and said, we are going by what the court ruling is, what the court ruling is saying. So, there's always a next time. And that is maturity at its best. If you don't see that, then I don't know which political lens you are looking at things with. So despite shortcomings here and there, I think our political system is matured. So I think in Namibia, civil war, coup, maybe in the world to come, but not with this type of politicians that we have here. Maybe the politicians to come, but not with this type of politicians that we have now. So, but despite that all, the president is now calling for proactive parliamentary, you know, attitude towards bills so that the service delivery can be fast tracked, according to the president. But some people are arguing to say, look, passing bills quickly is not going to determine the fast tracking of service delivery. Because sometimes you pass a bill, but that bill you have passed is a bill that is going to be used to, you know, threaten the well-being of the people, where somebody, an individual, has so much power, and before you know, it's another rot again, maybe oil rot or whatever rot that will come now. Because fish rot is coming from the, you know, lack of diligence in passing bills. The bills were not, maybe they were not well, you know, discussed, well scrutinized, well, They were just let to pass because of the majority issue. And then before we know, we woke up one day to the anatomy of the bride. So we are going for a short musical break. And we'll be right back. This is Jerima D. Tankara, Fanta Borama.
Between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, we continue 25 minutes. 24 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. We still have enough time. We still have enough time to talk and also to just have some music jam, you know, to have a conversation. We are analyzing the issue. And we just finished our first story. We now get into our second story. We'll get into our second story. But wherever you are, if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-2884-01. If you are there and you are listening, you want to be part of the conversation, you can call through and we will see how far we can go having a conversation. We are just at the beginning of the year and we are just taken, 30. Today is the 7th, 38 days. We have taken 38 days we have taken 38 days out of 366 days of the year. Yes. Morning. Afternoon.
Good morning, bro. Afternoon, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yes.
Yes. That topic that you are talking about is very current and is very crucial. I do not know. I listened to the president's address and the concern of the bills that are passed. The higher concern is that there is a slow motion and passing of those bills. And I also listen to Mbambo, the spokesperson for President. I do not know why people are saying the president is concerned of the slow motion of the bill, but there are other people, for example, the ICC president, who is also talking about why should the bill be so rushed into existence. And his concern is that if they pass bills that are not well scrutinized, they might have some negative impact on the life of the people. I don't know which one is which now. The mention of Ampanda is breaking the president. Of course, we want things to be done speedily, but we also do not want things to be done hazardous. So now, on the issue of the opposition, who were actually mentioned by the president that there are those presidency and those people who are actually trying to deliberately delay the passing of the bill. Which one is which? I'm a good person.
Your line is not good, Uncle Bana.
My line is not good.
Yeah, it keeps fading and going up.
Let me position myself properly. What time are you getting on?
Are you able to call back?
Yes, I'm able to call
back. Yeah, please call back.
Okay.
Just find a quiet place and then you can call back.
Okay.
Yes. Right, Uncle Bana must just find a quiet place there. I mean, when it comes to the delaying of the bill, there are many things we can look at. Of course, IPC is correct by saying that things should not be rushed. We shouldn't just have bills passed, but we should have bills whose, you know, results should be tangible upon their implementation. So the implementation of the bills should produce tangible results to the benefit of society, not to the detriment or destruction of society. So that is a very prudent, way of looking at it, to say things should not just be passed. People should not be coerced to passing bills that will not have impact at the end of the day upon their implementation to the nation, because the most important focus here is the nation, serving the nation. And, you know, the plea is that, okay, guys, forget about your political parties when you are in the job. When you are in the job, you are there to serve the Namibian people, not the agenda of your political party. In as much as your political agenda is also very important, because you are under a political party, but the most important thing should be the Namibian people. The Namibian people, that should be the focus. You know, that should be the focus. The Namibian people, that should be the focus. You know, and this was echoed, these same sentiments are echoed by the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, when he's saying, when you get to council as a council member or as a member of council, as far as town councils and the regional councils are concerned, you don't go there to serve the You don't go there to serve or, you know, to play politics. You are going there to serve the Namibian person. You are going there to serve the Namibian person. So it's for Namibian people. You are under the government, and the government is for the people. So now we leave that part and we go to the launch of cabinet. During the launch of cabinet, the journalist Jemima Birkes, I think, I always fail to pronounce this name, because you know where I come from, we don't speak Afrikaans. And I think you know what happened with Jemima and the presidency, and a lot of us were giving analysis, everyone having his own or their own understanding and perspectives on what happened. Whether you are pro this or that, it does not really matter how you interpret what happened. But one thing is clear, that, you know, the presidency this time, and I think in my first analysis, I was different from what I'm about to say. So, when you look at the speech of the president after that, the speech of the president was really relegated to fourth, fifth page, as far as the papers are concerned. Because In fact, I was looking at it from a tactical point of view, and I thought that, okay, Jemima won tactically because she did not just disrupt as far as everyone is saying it, but she also managed to ask or to put a very powerful question that up to now everyone is still talking about. And not only that, when, you know, where the presidency lost it all is when they exercised power. We know when the presidential force of gravity kicked in. I call it a presidential force of gravity. When you manhandle, you know, the presidential force of gravity happened now twice, because the first one was in 2020 with Henny Sebeb. That was a presidential force of gravity that led to the tearing of his jacket. I think you know that altercation. You remember it very well. So, but then when I look at it from the international point of view, I see that Jemima won big time, because now, on the international point of view, everybody just talking about her and what happened to her. So that was a win. And the presidency were left to scramble for, you know, for words to do what is called, you know, damage control. So the presidency were left with no option but to start fixing, to start repairing, because they were not prepared for what happened. They would have done it the Trump way, you know, do it the Trump way. When somebody from NBC, you remember when Zelensky and Trump were talking, and somebody from NBC went off topic and started to ask about the Qatari, a government that, you know, gave the US a plane. A business deal between America and Qatar that is, you know, in trillions of dollars. The presidency took the question and he answered the question, but then embarrassing the journalist. You know, embarrassing the journalist and calling him a jerk. Don't ask questions like that jerk that is sitting there. So, the fact that the president agreed to answer the question, that was a tactical victory against the journalist by Trump. But then, when we compare it with what happened on Monday, the president was not both strategic and tactical. Therefore, they lost on both sides. In fact, in my first analysis earlier, I said that Jemima was tactical but not strategic. But when I went to dig deeper and understand deeper what really happened, I found out that I was wrong in my first analysis. In fact, the presidency was left with no option but to do what is called damage control. If you read their post on Facebook, you find out that they were forced to scramble for, you know, for words to try to repair the damage, because they were not prepared for it. So, despite their powerful presidential force of gravity that they performed in a power expo, that was not tactical, and it was also not, you know, strategic, That was a powerful blunder. And then it ended that, Jemima won the race. So she won from a tactical point of view, and she also won from a strategic point of view. And I'm not going to reveal what the strategic point of view is. But the tactical point of view that I'm going to say is that is a type of question that was posed. And tactical in a sense that she caught everyone by surprise. So the presidency was not prepared for her, resolve. So they were not prepared for her resolve. They were not prepared that she would anyway stand and ask the question. So it was a tactical and very powerful knockout. 3:15, and of course, by 4:00, our program will come to an end. That was a powerful tactic. Now, while we are there, as a journalist, we are talking about the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, who was going on saying that officials should pay their bills. And officials should pay their bills. So, and his argument was to say, look, municipalities and the town councils, you are quick to go after the poor people. The people that owe 500, 1,000, you go after them very well and you even cut off their water. But you don't cut the water of the ministries and government agencies and big fish that owe ministries. I mean, that owe municipalities. Big with hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you go after somebody that just owes a 500 and you cut off their water. Start with a big fish. That's what the minister is saying. And now, one journalist goes after this and finds it as an interest to go after, and then he starts to dig the minister. And he finds out that the minister owes, or there is water that is being owed. And it seems that that is on the account of the minister. And then publishes it. Okay? The minister is not living by what he's preaching. You know? The minister is not living by what he's preaching. And at the beginning, it seemed to be a tactical, knockout from a journalist to the minister. Then when the minister responds with, because this is a nuclear bomb, it's a tactical nuclear bomb against the minister. You are not living by what you preach. Look at your account. So that's the minister got boom, it's a bomb. Then the minister fires back. Bam. When the minister fires back, the minister goes a little bit personal. So the minister goes a little bit personal and start talking about the nationality of the person who is reporting the about him owing water. And then everybody started to cry. Emotionally. Now everybody started to cry. It's xenophobia. Everybody started crying. It's xenophobia because the minister responded, it's xenophobic. Now, in a debate, I've been debating, you know, in a debate, somebody may touch where it hurts most, just to get you out of touch emotionally. The intention is to just get you off the hook, you know, it's just to get you off the radar. It's just to switch your radar off. And then the journalist, you know, lost, because all of a sudden, all media houses are crying, saying it's a xenophobic attack from the minister and the editors forum, NMT, everyone. They are crying to say that the minister is xenophobic. But that was a tactical response. Just like the journalist made a tactical, you know, it was a tactical response to the tactical fire that the journalist fired. So they were both hitting each other tactically. Boom, boom. So it was an expert to say who is tactical enough to get the other one off. Because, okay, so without defending the minister, I'm just giving you a logical, so that tomorrow when you are writing a story about somebody, you know this thing. So the minister is not correct, you know, by using the nationality of a person or whatever we can call, whether we are saying xenophobia or whatever, the minister is not correct. But it's not a matter of being correct or being wrong. It's a matter of being tactical. Because here it's a contest of intelligence. And this is what the journalist did not pick. So, and in fact, when you listen to the comments, because you see the aim of the journalist was to get the people's attention, right? When you dig on the minister and say, here is the bill that the minister is preaching, you know, righteousness here. Here is what he's doing. That was the aim of the journalist, to get the people's attention and to sway them off. But here is why it did not work. What the minister kept saying, it appeals to the people. You know, what the minister keeps saying, it appeals to the people. For example, the minister fired another missile to the anti-corruption commission. It's a nuclear missile, tactical, bam. And then you see, you know what? The people responded to say that is the fire, that is the type of weapon that we want. And in fact, you were on target. Continue. Then when ACC fired back, they fired another nuclear weapon, but it was a low yielding, and they thought it was tactical by saying, we are investigating you. Okay? We are investigating you. Now, look, everyone is looking for a crowd. We are having three people. It's a ACC, it's a minister, and it's a journalist. So, and they are looking for who? They are looking for you. Now, you are the crowd that they are looking for. So, now, here is where the journalists and the anti-corruption commission are losing it. One, what the minister has said from day one when he became a minister till now is consistently appealing to the masses and to the crowd, which means the minister has the crowd in his hands. So now when ACC responded to say, we are investigating you, whether what they are doing is right or wrong, we are not on that plot. We are not there. We are not to say that. We are not here to find out who is wrong or who is right. No, we are looking who is tactical enough. You know, who is that person whose ears are itching when he speaks? Who people want to hear him talk? Who is that person right now in Namibia? Who is that person? That's what we are looking for. So now when the anti-corruption commission fired back, their weapon was powerful, was meant to cause an emotional tremor to the minister. That's number one. Number two, it was meant to sever the connection between the minister and the crowd. But none of that worked. In fact, if you read in the comment sections, you will find out that the people are saying, no, they are just looking for something in order to discourage him. Because people's hearts are with the minister, no matter what you say. Now, here's when the journalist also fired that it was a powerful tactical nuclear to cause an emotional tremor to the minister and to sever the connection between the minister and the crowd. But that did not also work. Because number one, because I think the journalist did not do her homework. Because this was not worth, you know, pursuing. This is the reason why. If you listen to the minister, he was saying, start with the big people. Which means, in one way or the other, he was including himself in the people whom the town council should start with. Okay? So, he was including himself. So, that's why, when the story of him owing NamWater money surfaced, it didn't have much impact in the hearers. Because what is important is not the writer of the story. It's what is important is the reader of the story. So the story did not make an impact, negative impact, as it was meant for, in the hearers. Because the hearers has first heard what the minister said. The minister said that don't go after people, the poor people that owe, you know, small money, little money. You go after them and you shut down their waters, their water. Go after big people, after councillors, after officials, and after agencies. That was already enough to say, go, come after us. You see, the minister is saying, come after us. Because when he's talking about officials, who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. So, that's why when they went to find out that the minister owes the money, the minister owes water, That story did not bring did not sever connection between the minister and the crowd. In fact, it increased the crowd. So it made more people run towards the minister, because now the thinking is they are just digging him for a witch hunt. The thinking in the crowd now is to say it's a witch hunt. Now, whether the anti-corruption commission is correct or wrong, that is something else. That's your own opinion. But the issue here is that when they are saying we are investigating you, they are communicating a different, you know, message to the crowd. Because when the minister said the anti-corruption commission is not doing anything, you know, it's weak, that's a tactical nuclear weapon. It's a powerful nuclear weapon, and it caused tremor. It caused like an earthquake. Now, the ACC responds with their own weapon, surface to surface, you know, tactical, whatever you can call it. But then it did not make impact. Because I'm telling you that what is important here is not the minister. What is important here is a crowd. Both ACC and the minister want to appear angelic in front of the crowd to have, you know, that favor from the crowd. But the problem with ACC is that ACC has been quiet and they do not cultivate enough ground for themselves as far as the crowd is concerned. So therefore, whether or not what they are doing is right or not, whether or not what they are doing is right, they don't have the crowd compared to the minister. You know, because what made the minister gain the crowd, what made the crowd run to the minister, was when he went to power. First of all, what he did, he went to Katima and embarrassed the Katima Town Council. And he created a karatagoma that led to the dissolution of the entire council. It never happened in Namibia. According to now what the crowd is seeing, that is something that the crowd has been looking for. That is something the crowd has been looking for. So ACC has to do a lot of work. It has a homework to do if it wants a crowd. Now, by them saying we are investigating you, they are this is the message they are communicating. You are investigating him now. Is this a time you start investigating him now? Why didn't you start investigation later? Why didn't you start investigation before? You were supposed to investigate him while he was a minister under Gengob. And after he left the ministry, you kept quiet all along. And now this is the time you want to investigate him. Nah, we are not buying that. So we are not buying that. And it is true. Look at the comments. Just get into the comment section and you look at the comment on that. The crowd is not buying that. So the nuclear response from the ACC is shut down, completely destroyed, which means the minister, without knowing, has built multi-layered air defense systems. Then comes the crying from the journalists. No, we condemn the xenophobic remarks that is made by the minister against the journalist. All that is not being bought by the crowd. It is an emotional tremor in the journalist world. It's an emotional tremor. The journalist world is crying victim because they failed to get the crowd. Now, if you look at the section, the comment section, you see that story or that statement, the press statement from all the journalists, did not even have any impact on anyone as far as the crowd is concerned. We are talking about the crowds. We are talking about the reader. They are not interested in that. They are not buying it. It is not appealing to them emotionally. Okay, so both the journalist and the ACC are exonerated and relegated to a witch to being witch hunters against the minister. This is what is being interpreted by the crowd. So I'm just saying it loud, but if you get into the comments, you see the thing that make my analysis more safer is that I want to do analysis of things that are already in the public domain. Because I don't have a lawyer. So, I don't have a lawyer, so I analyze things that are in the public domain so that you can go back to the story and read and make your own conclusion. And if you see that you are exaggerating facts, you can come through. The number in studio is 083-238-401. That's the number. So my analysis are 100% challengeable, if there is such a word. 100% debunkable. You can debunk them. In fact, you can go on my page, even on my personal page, and listen to all the videos that I put up there. And you can make a public video criticizing what I'm saying without any repercussion. So, but this is what happened. So when the minister came in, he, without knowing, or whether or not he knew what he was doing, he built a multi-layer defense system. And that is in the crowd of people in the crowd in Namibia. You know, that's in Namibian. It doesn't matter whether they are whatever, because in Namibia, when you talk about people, we always want to align them to their tribal, you know, we always want to get things to a tribal confines. But read the comments. Most people that are talking about Sankwasa, they are not even from, you know, from the so-called, you know, Zambezi. They are people from everywhere. So in Namibia, tribe doesn't matter. As long as you have won the heart of the crowd, your tribe will not matter. That's Namibia. The moment you see tribe matter, the moment tribe comes in, it means you did not make an impact yet. But the moment you make an impact in people's hearts in Namibian, the moment the Namibians decide they like you, you can be how wrong. The moment they decide they like you, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. You know, I have a cousin that was married to a man that that man can beat. That man used to beat. Pacato Bonebreaker. But people used to talk, even my mother, they talk and they say, please, can you leave that man alone? That keeps punching you like that. No. But the lady loved the husband until my family decided to back off completely. And they are still married up to now. Because my cousin loved her husband. They are still married up to now. So, Namibia is like that. Once they like you, no matter how wrong you go, they like you. But in Namibia, once they don't like you, no matter how good you are, they don't like you, that's a done deal. That's how they are. So, the crying, the xenophobia that was said by the minister, it was just a weapon, you know, to dislocate the journalist emotionally. And in fact, switch off her, you know, her confidence, radars. And then expose her vulnerabilities. That is war. That is war. Whether it is a war of words or a war, in war, you strike and you make sure that you are lethal enough. In war, when you strike, you make sure that you are lethal enough. You strike with the most lethal weapon that you have in your arsenal. So the journalist thought she was lethal. She thought that bringing out the water, the minister owing water, that was most tactical and lethal weapon. She didn't know that the best from the minister was yet to come. When it came, almost the entire fraternity was crying victim. That it was a xenophobic attack. Now let me take an example to, you know, in 2022 when Russia attacked Ukraine, the European Union started to say, okay, we are going to sanction Russia and oil and so forth. And then the Russia responded to say, okay, by the 1st of April, we are going to deal with those countries that are not friendly with us. We are going to shut down the oil. And when the Russians shut down the oil, countries were not prepared for it. They didn't know that. They thought Russia was going to beg them. So Russia closed the tap. And then the European Union started to cry again, victim. No, Russia is weaponizing oil. Russia is weaponizing oil. You are weaponizing oil. You see, when you fire a weapon, you need to know that the other person will respond with whatever they have. And this is not what was in the knowledge of the journalist. The journalist thought that she was just going to fire a weapon and it was going to cause tremor enough that the minister will not have time to respond. Then the minister responds. That was a weapon available in his arsenal. And then we started to say, it is xenophobia. So, in debate, when you are debating, somebody will use a most powerful, something very powerful, that will make you very angry. They want you to be angry so that you, when you are angry, you can be dislocated. You will not be coordinated. You will lose coordination, and the other person can hammer you because now you are vulnerable. That is what happens in debate. That is what happens in debate. In debate, somebody will say something that will cause tremor emotionally to you. And then it will depend on the on your level of intelligence, whether you are going to cry victim or to respond tactically. Well, the rest is history, and you can make your own judgment. Now, like I said, 083-238-401, that's the number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. We are here till the hour of 4 o'clock, and we are trying, today we are just analyzing the Namibian stories. Today we are just analyzing Namibian stories. They are very interesting. So now the media fraternity is crying victim, because they always think they have the upper hand in causing tremor. So, and when somebody responds, you cry victim. But unfortunately here, unlike before, unfortunately, the crowd is not buying. The crowd is not buying it. So, as long as the crowd is not buying it, then you are not winning. As long as the crowd is not buying it, then you are not winning. Then ACC and the journalist did not win this game of chess that they are playing, because they are looking for a tactical win, short victory. But it seems that the minister is playing a long, you know, is playing a long game of chess. He's not trying to win, but he's trying to drag it so that he exhausts his enemy. All right, we are going for a short musical break for us to continue again.
Morning, bride or groom.
Groom.
This way. Morning. Morning. Bride.
Morning, bride. Morning, bride.
Ugly woman, your wife, you'll be happy for the rest of your life, and I
of your life. Never make a threat to woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry.
Give me some detail.
If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a threat to woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life.
Consolation when your man had let you down, like a fool fell in love with you, you turned my whole world upside down.
Layla, got me on my knees, Layla, begging darling please, Layla, darling won't you ease my worry.
Make the best of this situation, or I finally go insane. Please don't say,
never find a way.
Tell me all my love's in vain.
Layla, got me on my knees, Layla, begging darling, please, Layla. Darling, please, Layla. Darling, won't
I've been here for 40 years, before some of you were born, and it's the best place I've ever played. It's the best place in the world. Thank you for everything.
Peaches, Etta James, and something got a hold of me. Go on.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. And I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before, no, no. I believe, I said I really do believe that, you know I really do believe that, and oh yeah, and oh, when I talk, I said, oh, 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 hey, 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 whoa.
put a hurtin' on me. I said, oh, hell, oh,
so our last story today, we are not going to get into any international story. Today we are focused on our own. The last story
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. It seems that The music does not want to die. Okay, so our last story we are going to investigate. Because there've been three cases this year that are involving, you know, insurance companies or claiming insurance. Where people did things in order for them to be able to be eligible, in order for them to be eligible to claim for at least insurance. There's an undertone that comes, you know, out of all this. Which means with insurance companies, you keep paying and paying and paying and paying. And there is nothing that they give you at least at the end of the year. After paying maybe for 2 years and nothing happens, maybe they must give you like a 5% or something. So that's why people are becoming desperate. People are becoming desperate. And they are doing things, you know, falsifying evidence and events for them to be able to claim. For them to be able to claim insurance. The first incident is the death of a man that was killed for somebody to be able to claim insurance. that was done at least almost at the beginning of the year. That was last month. The two incidences happened or took place this week, or within this week, in fact. One hit the car, his Polo, you know, in the tree, and then went to the police to, you know, get to open a case, and say it's an accident. He gave his statement, and the police found out that the person was lying. So the police found out the person was lying, and then the person got arrested. He wanted to claim insurance. Second is a lady, 35-year-old, that was arrested in Katima because they took the sofas to the neighbor, you know, the neighbor's house, and then they claimed, look, there was a break-in. There was a break-in. The thieves came and took my sofas. The police found out the sofas were at the neighbor. The lady is also arrested. Now, this is a desperation. Number one, according to the police statement, the sofas are still being paid for. They are still on these sofas were bought on account at a certain store. I don't want to mention names. So, and it comes up to that they were in arrears. The lady did not pay for some months. So she wanted to claim that things are stolen so that she gets insurance and all that. So you heard that the love of money is a root of all evil. Now, I did not say money is a root of all evil. No. It's the love of money. There's a difference between money and the love of money. Money is good. But the love of money but too much love of money that you cannot do without money. You cannot go, be broke. You cannot just have nothing. You must always make sure you have money. The love of money, too much love of money is a problem. And it will lead people to do things that are otherwise, you know, very dangerous for them to get money. Once you find yourself in a point that you can do anything to get the money. Once you find yourself that you can do anything to get the money, then you are not just dangerous to society. You become dangerous to you. You become very dangerous to you. Because you can harm yourself to get the money. So, and there is a problem that people are now taking policies. You know, these funeral covers in the name in fact, in our names, and nobody knows. While I'm here, my sister had put me into those funeral covers. And it seems that those funeral covers pay millions, or pay at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. But my sister would be desperate to get that money. And getting that money is when I am dead. That is when she's able to get that money. So let me say I'm sick now. And there is a certain amount that is required for me to go for a certain operation. Do you tell me that my sister will make an effort to donate money? No. Because my death, she wants to get money when I'm dead. So my sister will make sure that I am dead to get that money. And this is what happened with the first story, where the person recovered. The person was sick, and the person recovered. So when the person recovered, they killed him so that they may claim insurance. So this is how terrible it is becoming. And this is how desperate, and this is how dangerous it is now becoming. Because we don't know who had or who has us covered in what. In fact, I'm going to call all the insurance companies and give my ID numbers. And whoever has put me on the cover, we are going to deal with them. We have all the money this time. Because people are putting us into those, people can put you into those, into their cover. And in fact, the people will be calling, you know, how are you these days? How are you feeling? Just maybe to find out you are sick. Because people are desperate. They want money. People are desperate. They want money. So they will make sure you are not, when you are not feeling well and there is a donation, they will not donate because they want to go and claim when you are dead. And immediately when you die, the same people that were saying they don't have money are the people that are coming to say, no, we can take care of the coffin. We can buy the coffin. How are you going to buy the coffin? You don't, where are you getting the money? People are surprising. People are surprised. Say, where did they get the money? They forget that the person was covered. So this thing of funeral covers, this thing of funeral cover must be well regulated. We don't know how. Because people are using these covers desperately. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, how are you, Tate?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Yes.
Now you bring a good topic in the, it's a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
And I'm just having a question, like, is it possible if, like, I put my house in the assurance? Yeah, then an incident of fire come, the house burned down. Will they still pay that one? Because there is no evidence with that one if I burn the house by myself or the house burned accidentally.
No, the police will determine. The police will come and investigate.
Yeah.
And the police investigation, they will give, yeah, they will give all the documents. It will determine whether it was a deliberate incident or it was an accident.
Yeah.
That's when you will get your insurance.
Okay.
Yes. It's about the police that determines that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a debate with us here. Then another thing again, it is just a suggestion if all the unions that are dealing with funeral policy and other things, if it's not possible just to put on that everyone must have the authority to come and check himself that he or she is registered in the certain policy. Is that not possible?
Well, we don't know about that. Maybe you can call them. You can call them and give your account number. I mean, your ID number to say, please check if there is any cover, any cover under this ID number. You give your own ID number, then they check for you.
Yeah, because these people now, mostly those one who are working, they only cover this senior age category, because this senior plan is just specifically designed for senior citizens between the age of 65 and 84. You know, at that stage, the death rate is very high. Yeah, they know already that if Meekulu, Tatekulu exceed 75, 80 something there, yeah, it's by luck. Most of people now they are covering those age categories, 65 up to 84. But it's not that for the reason that they want to help during the time of difficulty. No, people are only now targeting to claim money for their own benefit.
Yeah, I mean, that one will not prevent it, because when they create those policies, they are paying money every month.
Yeah.
So they will be able to claim the money because they are paying money every month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking about, you know, when you are taking a cover, there is a monthly premium. You have to choose which one you are paying for. And there are optional value added benefits. Yeah, then what I'm considering, if you are putting a cover, if you are covering someone and you really have the interest of covering that person, you must also have the option of that value added benefit. Like, for example, you must pay for a casket, for a person casket. You must pay for a grocery. You must pay for a top stone. Now they are only choosing the monthly for the, like example, 210. That is all. Yeah. After death, he's claiming is 5,000, is 10,000, is 20,000. That is all. I was suggesting, if you are truly serious that you are covering a certain person, you must also add this benefit. You must add a top stone for him or her. So that when you are claiming, you must also include this benefit, not to only claiming money.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. You are calling us from where?
Utapi.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. So, yeah. So, please go to the insurance companies, all those companies that are dealing with funeral cover, go and ask them, guys, check this ID. Is it in your system? Then you say, no, you are on 4 covers. You find out that you are covered 4 times. Especially those people in your 60s, in your 70s. You are in trouble. Because maybe you are covered 5 times already. Everyone has covered you. And you check your name and see. Otherwise, they will summarize you if they find out that you are not dying. Hello?
Tate Frank?
Yes?
Mm-mm.
Uncle Banner. Protocol. Oh, respect good. Protocol.
Good afternoon once more again.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. You see, they shouldn't bring any discord or bitterness. Like you explained to the person that you are actually paying. If it has to be from 60 to 85, how much that person would have spent to cover that person. Of course, there's no way the person cannot contribute. So you have to contribute to the financial support, the moral support, and all other areas that has to be done within that family. So if you have a problem of why is the person not paying the cut, not paying this other thing, what are you doing yourself? Or you just want to come in the morning and eat and celebrate and tomorrow you are gone. You might not have done anything. You might not have contributed anything. So the assurance, you have also mentioned it clear, because many people just insured and they go and burn and hit your car in the tree on the side, you know that you are safe for the purpose of going to claim from the insurance company. That's unethical. That is completely unethical. So what you should do, if you know that you have got people, because many people have killed their parents, and we know case laws here that people have killed their parents and their relatives and all these other things that they are covering for the purpose of doing what? To go and claim. So many fraudulent activities that are going on here.
That's our concern, to say what you people are doing now, you are not covering, so that at least, because the funeral cover was made, is introduced with an intention to say the person can die suddenly where you don't have money to, you know, run the funeral, you know, costs. At least that cover can help you. But now people are abusing it. They are making it as if it's a financial scheme.
If it is yours, you have covered the people with the intention of helping them and helping yourself. So when the situation is, for example, from the 60s, when up to the upward, those people, they are also covered by the government. And of course, you as an individual who have covered that particular person with your conscious, clear conscience, and you have done with that purpose, it's just that sometimes when people die, you, of course, have to be there and assist. Like I said, physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially, or whatever, any other way that you think you can give your support. I'm now saying, the person who might be complaining about that, he himself or herself, even after you have done that, you are still going to contribute within this family. You know, when somebody dies, people contribute just like wedding and marriage. They contribute. But that they might not even know. I was talking to this one with my sister. I said, some of these things that you contribute for wedding and other things, but you do not see the indirect. You only come home, Koshumbo, and the light is on. People are enjoying everything. And the generator is there, the fuel is there. Mangeke veriko kome kunyata utari koma patakui. And when they are just enjoying there with those who are complaining, they may not have contributed. If you have contributed toward that particular event, it's not a problem. So if the people are using it as a scheme for fraudulent activity, like I said, this is unethical. So let's go to our point of today. The way we were talking about. Are we together, after the friend?
Continue.
I don't want to dilute those stories, because what we are seeing, criminal activities, and even here, even children are now in prison languishing because of that concept. Some who are left to their will, some do not leave their will. It's still an administrative problem. As society, justice is concerned. And people are fighting. And so even those who are authorized by the law in terms of succession and inheritance and those industry estates, those issues, people are still coming and they sign against the law. So now, on the issue of parliament and the reasoning of the president, I'm just thinking on my own side as I analyze and interpret those things on my own understanding. The Amendment Act, the Petroleum Amendment Act, and many, many other minerals. Because you have just mentioned that the minister is there, and this thing has to be maybe housed in the president's office, which I think is a good thing as well. It might have some kind of proposition, especially when now people were saying, no, bills are not being faster track, and only this one and number of these things. I know the process is very cumbersome also, but it requires some scrutiny that the people themselves need to make sure that they go and consult the people there on the ground to make sure that, yes, their input, if the law had to be passed, obviously it's going to affect all sectors of life. So if there is a deliberate delay in the formulating those bills into law to act, that one cannot be tolerated. And I understand it's not a good thing. Just two bills. It's not a good thing. So the other time when people were passing bills and bills, people in the opposition were complaining, yeah, why are they passing this bill and this? I think, I don't know whether, 2 years ago, it was a debate here. And people were saying, look, those bills are going to respond to the need of the people and things like that. They were passed. But the opposition were complaining. Now again, they are complaining, of course. Maybe I understand that they are concerned. I respect them. That yes, the laws, the bill had to be scrutinized. If it is delayed by the National Council, who has to review and recommend and do other things, let it be so. As long as it's not going to come in, thrown out of the court or wherever, in the human and all these other things, it's another process. But the people can still use the existing laws that are there, so that they can attend to the service delivery of the people, to serve the people there. So there are so many. If there is this one, is that an amendment? If it's an amendment, maybe they are going to amend only one clause or two. The rest is fine. It's not contradictory or whatever. So it is up to us, my friend, to implement those laws. Even if you say cybercrime, it's not there, it's whatever. Digital instruction and the event is going to be hosted here. You guys, we expect you to give us more. Kandari is here. He's just playing piano. He's playing. He also wants to find himself in the studio.
Let him call on my number.
Good afternoon. Ah, he also wants to talk.
Uncle Bana, respect so, protocol.
So, Trump, those are some of my issues that I'm talking about. And I think it's just very important that there will be expertise in all countries, actually. Because even when you look at the logistics, the export of goods and imports, we have seen that the logistics is the one to be infiltrated first by the criminal. The security clusters and everything must be in touch. Because we are aware that people are mining illegally.
Correct.
Haven't you heard that one? So if they are mining illegally, was there no law on the exploration sector? Or why was these people illegally mining? Look at what is happening in South Africa.
You've made your point.
So the president is right, and there's nothing that will be delayed there. People will implement the plan and serve the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You are already starting to drink in Magongo, ne? Stop mixing drinks. Stop mixing drinks. Have a good day.
The same to you, Father Frank.
All right, it's Magongo time, so please make sure that you don't mix Magongo with Stassenberg and some smoking, because otherwise the world will be too small for you. So you find out that you are here sitting there, but there are people that have already put you under under funeral cover, so that when you die, they go and claim 30, 40, 50,000. Yeah. So if you care about a person, why don't you create him? You create an investment for him. And at least you make after 5 years, so that at least he go and claim like a 10,000 that will help him improve his life. So this is how selfish and entitled family is. Family is a very corrupt organization. Family is a very corrupt organization. So, and people are becoming desperate now that they are putting whoever covering them under funeral, so that when they die, they are going to claim money. And some people can even go to the point of being wicked and summarize your life when you are delaying to die, because they want to claim the money. So this kind of wickedness is what we are seeing right now manifesting itself. And we are going for a short musical break. We'll be right back to say our goodbyes. We have come to an end of our program. Of course, this has been Ram of the Historics. We are going to meet again next week. We have investigated Namibian stories. Emotions aside, and let's have a conversation. Till next Saturday, it's a goodbye from me and wishing you a very powerful the rest of the weekend. Powerful. Please don't mix stuff. And when you are drinking, before you pull out your last money, make sure you check your electricity. We don't want dramas. Please, before you drink your last money, check your tank and check your electricity. It's a goodbye from me.